Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle, coming up on the programme this week.
But there's so many positives and it's eased so many feelings of it's okay to have fun, it's okay to have joy, it's okay to do things that don't make money or aren't part of your usual routine. Like simply just to have an interest is healthy and allowed.
Again, I think that's totally understandable, Katie, that if you've not been making these plans and you've not been in these environments, suddenly the idea of everyone going, right, let's all get together and let's all sit in a beer garden or whatever it would be. I can completely understand that some people will go, whoa, 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 is that allowed? Am I safe? Is that a healthy thing to do? I've not done it for so long.
You can't see it as a luxury. You can't see it as a bit naughty and you can't see it as a bit of a guilty thing to do. You've got to see it as it's my responsibility to look after me. I've got to look after my mind and my body.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community. It's Mental Health Monday.
Hey, it's Mental Health Awareness Week, so Mental Health Monday is here once again. We'd be here if it wasn't Mental Health Awareness Week, but you know the drill by now. Sometimes these weeks shine a spotlight on a particular issue for those who have been nowhere near it, who don't know anything about it, and hopefully if you have, maybe for the first time this week, clicked onto a particular mental health issue, a charity, an organisation that you can reach out to, a bit of information that will set you on a good path, maybe now or later on in life, then it's all for the better. Thanks for joining us today. Really interesting conversation with a really great guest, actually, Katie Piper. Now, Katie's been a great campaigner, great advocate for mental health. She's done all the regular celeb stuff as well in terms of Strictly Come Dancing and things like that. But it's great to get her on the programme. She appeared for the first ever Christmas special, I think. It would have been way back in either 2017 or 2018. We're going to have a conversation, and I'm going to class it as a slightly taboo conversation because it's based around the results of a survey that has found that for many people, there have been certain aspects of the year that we've just had that they've quite enjoyed. Now, this is one of those things where it feels like you're not really allowed to say this because, of course, it has been for loads of people a really dreadful year. Of course it has been. And I think we absolutely understand and empathise with people around why that's been the case, the death toll, the isolation and the impacts. But also for a lot of people, there have been chances to make connections with family members that they wouldn't normally see because they work long hours. They don't need to make long commutes anymore. Maybe they've been furloughed from their jobs and they've not had to worry about income and things like that. Now, this is not in any way, shape or form to take away from the difficulties that some people have experienced. But I think it's probably worth saying that although we're heading back to this return to normality and people are looking forward and are keen to get back to that normality, for a lot of people, normality wasn't so great anyway. You know, we had this mental health time bomb that had gone off, which had led to these huge numbers around suicide. This is pre-pandemic, huge numbers around stress and anxiety and depression. And this was all before the pandemic came about. So maybe the disruption caused by the pandemic has created a situation where people have looked to find benefits. And in looking for those benefits, have found certain aspects of their time that they've been able to spend a little bit differently and find ways of coping. And I think we should celebrate that because actually I think it represents in people the fact that facing a difficult situation, they were able to find positives. And I'd sort of encourage you to sort of think what those might be within your own life. You know, what are those things that you will take forward from the pandemic? Because it can't all be bad, can it? Maybe it is. Maybe it all is absolutely terrible. But maybe there is one element, maybe there's two elements, maybe there's two or three things that you can take forward about spending time with your family, about cooking more, about taking part in activities or gardening or going for a walk every single day, that so-called hour of exercise. The survey sort of flags out the fact that some people are saying, you know what, I'm quite happy. I'm quite happy to stay in the lockdown mode. I'm quite happy for there to be restrictions because I want to find a way forward in life that works for me, that doesn't base itself on the fact that if we're all free and we're all out and about, then everything will be fine for everybody. Because, of course, it isn't and it wasn't. So let's be open to the conversation, maybe. Katie sets out the findings of the survey, and we made it really clear from the start that this wasn't about saying to people that it was a right thing or it was a wrong thing, but simply that people had opinions and they should be able to explore them. And also to find ways and new ways of getting involved and exploring those activities they've been able to get into. Maybe reading, sewing, baking, gardening, the things that got you through lockdown that hopefully will be there for you beyond lockdown and beyond coronavirus.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we're trying to do is encourage everybody to carve out 30 minutes a day to have time on your own. So you can keep up these hobbies, these coping mechanisms, whatever it was that you retreated to in lockdown to help you balance your mental health and get through it. Don't leave that in lockdown. Bring it to present day, because it's so tempting to get caught up in this new busyness of booking the pub gardens, booking the lunches, and actually forgetting what helped you stay strong, what was good for you. And it's so important. You know, the research has shown how closely connected it is to good health and well-being.
I feel like it's almost a taboo subject, because I think if you or I went on social media and said, hey, you know what I've really enjoyed about the last year, before you could even explain, people would jump down your throat, I think, and almost say, well, this has been the worst year in everybody's life and everyone's got to agree with that, or you're plain and simple wrong. But actually, for a lot of people, you know, there's maybe a 2-hour commute that they've not had to do. There's, you know, time with the family that they've been able to spend. And we can all make jokes about having to spend too much time with the family. But actually, for a lot of people, that's just something they've never, ever been in a position to do before. And we've got to find those positives, because if we didn't look for those positives, we would struggle, wouldn't we? Because we'd be constantly focused on the negative. We'd constantly be focusing on all those difficult things that have happened in the last 12 months.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's totally about context, and there's good and bad in everything. And I think, you know, emphasizing how important time alone is isn't about staying locked in your house on your own feeling isolated. You know, often time alone can actually connect you to other communities. So for example, what I found helpful in lockdown is I really got into crafting, and crafting helped me find a sense of purpose, fulfillment. It was quite therapeutic. It took me away from problems. Well, when you get into crafting and you go online, there's a whole community of crafters. So actually that hobby gave me stuff in common with other people and something to talk about that wasn't the news or what's going to happen tomorrow. So these moments of time alone actually re-energize you and fill you up so you can be a good partner, a good employee, a good parent. They certainly don't further isolate you.
No, absolutely. And how difficult do you think it is to find that time? I think you've almost got to be proactive, haven't you, in making that time. You've almost got to make a decision to say, right, this next 30 minutes is for me, because we've all got busy lives. We've all got, you know, busy households, or we've all got, you know, plenty of other options of things to do, things to watch on TV, you know, the shows you've got to catch up on, the Zoom quiz you've got to play a part in. You've got to be quite forthright, haven't you, to say, right, the next half an hour is for me and it's only for me.
Yeah, I think you have to attach the right emotions to it. You can't see it as a luxury. You can't see it as a bit naughty, and you can't see it as a bit of a guilty thing to do. You've got to see it as, it's my responsibility to look after me. I've got to look after my mind and my body. And the way I look after me is slowing down, calming down, and giving myself 30 minutes out of a 24-hour day. Because we give so much to our employer, we give so much to our friends, we give so much to people we don't even like. People will spend 30 minutes on social media commenting on people they don't like, you know. So we can definitely give ourselves 30 minutes to craft, to cook, to walk, to run, you know, whatever your meditation or your hobby is, we owe it to ourselves to do that.
Culturally, I think there's a big jump to take there. I think for a lot of people, they'll almost think, I'm not allowed half an hour to myself. I'm not allowed this time. I've got to commit that time to somebody else. I'm being selfish if I'm looking for 30 minutes to myself. But I think there's a wider conversation, isn't there, about, you know, that idea of, you know, putting on your own gas mask first, or, you know, if the plane starts to fall out of the sky, that you've got to look after yourself. Because if you don't do that, then we're not going to be in a position to help other people and to find other ways forward in the future.
Yeah, I see it as the reverse. I see it as I am being selfish if I don't look after myself. And, you know, it's on me to be the best sort of parent and wife that I can be. And that involves having those hobbies and taking time out for myself. I think, you know, for lots of people, if you are honest with those in your life and talk to your friendship circles and your colleagues, lots of people are feeling hesitant and worried. Lots of people don't want to go back to being overwhelmed, fully booked and busy. And that's okay. You know, that's all right. Of course, we want some elements back. But I think what we're striving for is that balance.
Is it okay if you start your half hour but then 10 minutes in, something happens, or the kids pile in, or there's a knock at the doorbell. Can you reset? Do you just give up at that point? How do you make sure that that half an hour becomes a sacred time, even if things are going wrong for you?
I think you have to plan and prioritize, you know. So for me, with the crafting, if I'm doing it with the kids, we do it at the weekend, and I make it an interesting project that they really want to do. So we were writing out our favorite sort of positive quotes, positive words, affirmations, and we were making them into sticky labels of our machines. Then we were going out for our hour's walk, picking up stones and pebbles and putting those stickers on the pebbles. And then we made a little basket at the end of the drive so that all the Amazon drivers, delivery people, other people on their walks could pick up the pebbles. So the kids would get really excited, like, who took my pebble? Is the basket empty? Can we make more? Can we Google more words? And then that would make them talk about emotions, and they'd want to do their walk to get the materials. So that would have no interruptions. And then they'd feel a sense of pride and sort of fulfillment. And similarly with me, when I was doing it in the evenings, I was making little handmade cards and notelets, and I started to think, great, I'm not buying loads of stuff and purchasing one-use things off Amazon. I'm homemaking them, a bit old school, going back to the way I was brought up, you know, quite traditional ways. And then I was either hanging it in the house and being proud of it every time I walked past, or I was giving it out to people and getting feedback from people and getting connection from people who I was making happy. And there was a sense of purpose in that. So if you make it something you become really passionate about, there just won't be those interruptions.
And that's the crux of what we're talking about, essentially, isn't it? That you can have these periods of time whereby you think, right, what am I going to do to fill this next time? I've got all these hours to fill with kids being maybe not at school or whatever it would be. But actually doing something proactive, you're thinking, well, I'm glad I've done this. I've had a positive impact. And I'm sure as well, your children would say, even in, you know, years and years to come, remember when we went and collected those stones and we gave them to the neighbors and people walked past, and they'd see that as a positive experience, which maybe they wouldn't necessarily tie in with lockdown and the horrors of everything that has gone on in the last 12 months. They'll think of that as something great that they did with their parents.
Yeah, they'll be proud. They would have enjoyed the time with their family. I mean, I think when you look back on your own childhood, the moments that you remember aren't necessarily about the sort of booked lunches out or the experiences that you had to pay for. Often the greatest memories are just created by somebody giving you their time. You know, time is so valuable.
In terms of the stats, there's a really standout stat. There's a couple, actually. One in three prefer lockdown life. One in 10 don't want lockdown to lift. And I understand maybe where the one in 10 are coming from. And I'm sure that one in 10 don't want to deny everyone else, you know, the freedoms that will come in the future as well. But it's interesting that all of those things that we've talked about, there are a lot of people, because we take a long time, don't we, to change our behaviors and our routines, who are now into a new routine. And as long as, you know, the wolves aren't at the door and you're able to sort of maintain, you know, your lifestyle, your home and so on and so forth with bills and so on and so forth, a lot of people will say, well, I quite like not having to commute. I quite like spending more time with my family. And actually, this element of lockdown life for me is a positive thing. And I guess it's about finding that time, those 30 minutes, that way of taking that into whatever's to come next. And whatever's to come next, we don't quite know, don't we, in terms of what the next 18 months will look like. But it's about finding your way through that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think people that learn new hobbies or skills and sort of got really good at them obviously experienced a positive impact on their mental well-being. So why would they not want to keep that? I suppose for everybody, it's actually about freedom and choice. And, you know, we like things to be spontaneous. We like to have the option if it's there. Like you said, it doesn't mean everyone wants to return to full fast pace every single day. But if you want to do that a couple of times a week and the choice is there, I think that's what people primarily want. But just not to have to feel guilty, to want to look after yourself and have time for yourself. That should be a very natural thing, and we should all want that for people, and to have that positive and that good sense of well-being.
And there's a wider sense, actually, of maybe some of the stresses and the anxieties that come with this sort of period of adjustment. 21% of people in the survey were worried about making social plans, which, again, I think that's totally understandable, Katie, that if you've not been making these plans and you've not been in these environments, suddenly the idea of everyone going, right, let's all get together and let's all sit in a beer garden or whatever it would be, I can completely understand that some people will go, whoa, 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 is that allowed? Am I safe? Is that a healthy thing to do? I've not done it for so long that it doesn't quite feel normal to me. And I think that's a totally understandable anxiety, one that we should probably all have empathy with.
Yeah, I just think never feel ashamed for your feelings and never sit with them alone. Voice them and you'll find so many people around you feel the same. And then you normalize it. And then when you do go to do those things, you can preempt it and say, I'm really worried about this. And you don't have to put on a brave face, because bottling things up is where it starts to get sort of rotten to the core. You need to really speak freely with those around you, normalize it and see that you're not the only one that feels like that. And then it will gradually pass.
Have you turned down any invites, or are you saying yes to everything? Are you being selective when people are dropping you notes about things that are coming up in the near future?
I've got to say, before lockdown, I was the person that turned down everything anyway. but yeah, I'm trying to be more mindful with my time. You know, I'm trying not to overbook myself and prioritize the things that are important. But like everyone else, I'm also excited about having, you know, a drink in a beer garden too, and that's okay.
We mentioned as well, you know, people being at home, and for a lot of people, home might not necessarily be a great place to be, either because of potentially the people who are within it, but also the state of people's homes with issues and various sort of things that they're dealing with. There can be damp problems and leaking roofs and, four walls that they simply don't want to look at. And I just wonder whether or not, when we look at people's wider mental health now, that these are the sorts of things we now really need to consider. What is somebody's home environment? You know, we always place so much on workloads or stress levels or financial difficulties. But actually, I think it's almost proved within the last year that our home environments, either the actual bricks and mortar or the people that we are with, are crucial to how we feel about ourselves and how our mental health suffers or indeed thrives.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we've seen more than ever how important connection is, network is, and it's those that are around us that are kind of our pillars in difficult times. And you're so right to say, you know, everyone's home setup is different. Some people, that it isn't a home, it's just a house, and they don't have that home environment, and it's incredibly difficult. And that's where community is key, charity is key. And again, we can, where possible, we can support other people through those senses of community and charitable giving.
And in terms of that, and you talked about the sewing community you'd find during this time, actually that sense of being part of something or being part of something new as well. I think that might be something as well that we can take forward within new communities, that we can feel, well, this is a new me, this is a positive part of me and something that I'm now part of, not just because it was lockdown, but something that I can be part of for years to come.
Yeah, I mean, I found a whole new community through cricket, you know, when I got my machine and I started to go online and go on other blogs and see people were doing these things, and I had stuff in common with them and we were creating the same stuff, and it was really quite uplifting. And sort of, you know, you think, would you have found that before? Would you have been too busy to invest in a new interest? You know, would you have felt that you had the time in your schedule? So that there's so many positives, and it's eased so many feelings of, it's okay to have fun, it's okay to have joy, it's okay to do things that don't make money or aren't part of your usual routine. Like, simply just to have an interest is healthy and allowed.
Absolutely. I think we'll almost sort of take time, won't we, to try and think, right, where am I at? Where's my head at after the year that we've just had as well? And maybe people can do that within that sort of half an hour period of reflection over a series of those half an hours, because it's a big question to answer. Do you feel yourself like you've changed? I guess we've all changed in certain ways, but do you think there's a measurable change in terms of what you've experienced in the last 12 to 18 months?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's been the good and the bad. And I suppose I'm trying to focus on what's the good and what, and how can I sort of hone in on that and keep that. But definitely slowing down hasn't been bad for me and my family, which has been a real positive thing. And sort of looking at numbers in terms of like 30 minutes of a 24-hour day, that is doable. You know, we can prioritise that. We can protect that. We can, you know, plan it and not just say, oh, it didn't happen today. Plan it and say, it's going to be my lunch break, it's going to be in the evening, it's going to be waking up 30 minutes before the rest of the house, and make sure it happens.
There's a great book, I don't know if you've got this one, in terms of the roster of children's books that you'll have read over the years, it's the one, it's called 5 Minutes Peace, and it's the Elephant Family. And the mum just says she wants 5 minutes peace, and she goes up to the bath, and the kids get in the bath, where she comes downstairs and the kids come piling downstairs. But I think it kind of speaks of that thing, particularly for parents, where you're thinking, oh, just give me 5 minutes. So really what you're thinking is give me an hour and a half, give me the day off, give me a holiday. That's what you're really thinking. But just those 5 minutes could be absolutely crucial.
Yeah. Do you know what? I haven't read that book, but that does sound really lovely. I should check it out. But yeah, you know, you can create hobbies involving your children, but I think equally it is important, like you said, to have that time out, to have those moments, to not lose your identity.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And mine has been gardening during this time. We moved just before the pandemic. We moved to a house with a garden. So I've been able to become essentially a gardener now, with people like dropping off like for my birthday plants instead of beer, which is a marked change as well. But at the same time, that community sense that you talked about, you know, the Facebook groups that I go on now, I'm looking at who's growing what and what their soil type is. Now, I wasn't that person 18 months ago, but I'll probably still be that person in 18 months time, and actually sort of embracing those changes when they have been positive will be one certainly to come forward. Maybe I'll invite you around when it's all complete, Katie. We'll have a tea party. You can bring the your little stones with your messages on. I'll set up a little space there, and yeah, and you can see the work that I've done.
How can I say no to that? That sounds a very, very good use of a Saturday. If it's sunny as well, it'd be lovely.
It's always sunny in my garden. No, absolutely, absolutely. There you go. That's a social plan. That's the first thing I put in my social diary since lockdown started to ease. Katie, thank you so much for your time. Always a pleasure to catch up with you. Best luck with everything that you're involved in for 2021 and beyond, and the crafting and the sewing and everything in between. Thanks for joining us on the program today.
Cheers. Thank you ever so much. It was lovely to talk to you.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. Shout to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999. Thanks for downloading the podcast this week. We'll be back next week with more Mental Health Monday.